Hi, I'm Carrie Frederick.
And I'm Andy Estrather.
And we are two school counselors. And this week we are going to do kind of a more targeted conversation and talk about what we can do to support specifically our African American boys and young men.
Yay! After being a school counselor for a few years, I will say that I do not know as many groups or organizations that target African American men of young men of color to help support them in their journey through high school.
I think I'll see like local groups that might do like mentoring things here and there, like just very specific, you know, local to that school or community. But I definitely see, you know, it's interesting because I definitely see that need. And I see, because I'm lucky enough to work in a school that at least has a few African-American men that are teachers and even one of our principals, you know, I'll see them kind of individually act as mentors. But in terms of like a structured, repetitive type of program, we definitely don't have that available.
Right. And it's like, when, if I say ROCKS, right? Everyone, most school counselors know of ROCKS, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's, and ROCKS is awesome. Absolutely.
Absolutely awesome. But it's for girls. And it's like, okay, when I think of ROCKS, what is the counterpart? I don't have any. I just have, you know, maybe some mentorships coming in here and there. But again, like you said, no structured organizations that I know of that is even national that specifically targets our men of color and to support them throughout high school and into their, you know, college years. And so, unfortunately, it just seems like, are we confused on how to really support them? And that's the reason why there's no one really creating an organization like that?
I don't know. Like, because I'm thinking even, so last year, I did like an anger management group, and then I ended up getting like enough referrals to do a second group. And it coincidentally ended up to be all boys, and all of the boys were either African American or, depending on how they like to identify themselves, like multiracial, biracial. And I actually brought in that principal for one of the groups, because even in our conversations, like, there's an element of trust that, like, is, I can build trust with those kids, but because I'm a white person, especially when you think back to last year and how absolutely like elevated just racial tension was in general, of course I didn't expect them to just walk into this type of group situation and be like, yep, this person knows exactly what they're talking about. You know what I mean? Like we spent a lot of time with me asking them to, like, you know, I said, I can intellectually understand what you're telling me about your experiences, but they're never going to be my lived experiences as a white person, you know?
Right.
But even then, like, that's, you know, a 6-week group at school for, six kids. That's not like a program like ROCKS, where it's, I know they're really big in Ohio, where, you know, you have this whole organization that supports and then brings in and trains people in how to provide those types of educational experiences and mentorship.
Exactly. Like, when we will have emails from administration, like, do you want to get ROCKS trained? We have funds for ROCKS. Mm. Nothing comes about boys. And it's like, what is the lag in 2021? What is lagging to have this happen? So in the district I work in, we have, they take the young boys and girls to the career center, and like 7th grade, 8th grade, they get to go to the career center and see all these different careers. Yeah. And if they don't pick a career in 7th or 8th grade, then when 10th grade comes around, they say, hey, remember 3 years ago or 2 years ago? Do you want to sign up for one of these careers? And it's like, hey, my 7th to 8th grade self is totally different, mm-hmm. right? Then my 10th grade self, where I'm actually in the mind of actually being an adult. And so I just asked the district to say, hey, you know what? Can we take our 10th grade boys, specifically all boys, back to the career center in 10th grade, in 9th grade, and in the early parts of 10th grade, so they can go and look and say, you know what? I want to do this. And it just seems like, you know, we have a lot of girl fights, a lot of them, a ton of cat fights, right?
Yeah.
And they pull their hair, they'll talk their stuff, they'll yell and scream, and then it's over. Or, but they'll hate each other for the rest of their lives, right? That's just...
yeah, we talked about that, how, like, with the girls, it's like, it goes on for years sometimes.
Years,
I mean,
right?
I do have some boys where that's happened, but the girls for sure.
You're right, but it's so not as frequent as the girls, right? That's just their MO.
Mm-hmm.
Boys will either do one or two things. They'll fight, and then they'll play video games the next day, and it's over. Or they're going to have a rival, and they're going to, they're in some way, somehow, violence is going to occur. And we're not, I'm definitely not talking about fighting, just fighting and leaving it there. I'm talking about if it's going to be handed out on the street, whether it's gun violence, whether it's, you know, gang violence, whether they don't feel like they fit in with their families, or, and I'm seeing a lot of my boys. Okay, so I have a story. You ready for the story?
Yes, have a story. Please share your story.
Story time. So one of my boys, he was selling drugs, and I talked to him, and he turned in his gun. Okay, so the gun is gone. I'm so proud of him. And then he came back in the room to talk about him selling drugs. So I could tell his spirit wants to be, you know, release this drug dealing mafia type situation. So I'm like, okay, baby, you know, you're like my school son. You know, I talked to him about the drugs. He's like, dang, 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 Miss Strother. And then he comes into my office yesterday and he says, Miss Strother, I'm done with selling drugs. So my spirit is happy. I'm internally sitting over here saying, thank you, God, this boy is done with the drugs. He turned his gun in to wherever you drop it off anonymously. He's done with that life. Then he pulls out a slew of cards and said, now I'm scamming because I don't want to die in the street.
No, he didn't.
I was just like, I cannot. But then we had to have a conversation about it, right? But right. Listen, one, it shows the impact. It shows the impact that if you spend the time with these young men, you know, that, and not all men, and let me say this for the sake of this, not all young men are in the street, young black men or young or boys of color are in the streets. We're not talking about that. We're saying that we're talking about a specific population of boys. I have boys of all colors that are in the streets. I have boys of all colors that have come to me that I have given my life to, that were drug dealers, but specifically the targeted conversation of boys of color, troubled boys of color. That's what I'm talking about. And, but he's such a good guy. He's such a good young man. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's funny. He's very respectful, but his environment has shown him everything what not to be.
Right.
We need a program that can facilitate this, because I was telling him things about law that he had never even heard of before, right?
No, of course not. Right.
No, right? But what if we had a program for males that specifically taught them the law, that specifically taught them what the consequences would be, right? I've had boys who really almost hate their mothers because their mothers abandoned them, and they don't even care about graduating anymore, you know? And so it's like, but what happens if they had that school father? You get what I'm saying? It's just, or it doesn't even have to be a man who is running the mentorship for the women, but it's something. But here's the thing. The way a boy looks, at, when he looks into a man's eyes, when they have that father, that grandfather, that uncle, it really saturates because they have a lifestyle that, you know, that is for them. And they have that bonding experience that is for them. And I just feel like if you have a program with males and females, you know, people who care about these young men, a lot of these young men want to turn around, but without the guidance and the love, and I'm trying not to get so gender specific, right? I'm really trying to, and I'm failing at it.
Well, but our conversation is gender specific, and you and I have talked, like, on a just personally about, you know, and I said I made the observation from outside of the African American community that gender is very divided. Like, from my viewpoint, gender seems very divided in the African American community in general. You know, like, just culturally, that's just a thing that has happened. And I think that if we look at what our African American boys see for options for them for their future, what do they see African American men doing as adults? They see professional athletes. They see, whether they're accurate or not, they see a lot of media portrayals of gangsters, drug dealers, bad guys,
rappers.
Mm-hmm. And then rappers who have questionable ethics and lifestyles,
or at least extremely questionable.
Right. That's just at least the image that they're portraying. And we have had one president. So I think that when we, like, one of the reasons that we see, like, this, like, you know, we see there's general needs for all kids. Like you said, I have black boys and white boys doing some of the exact same stuff. And part of that, you know, social economic status is a big part of it. But there are components of race and community and where you grew up and what those expectations are put on you. You know, like, we've talked about lots of stuff. We get pretty deep. You know, like, you've had your whole conversation with me about how record producers go find the next big rapper and rap star and make money off of them, right? So I think that when we have this discussion, it's okay to be very gender specific and race specific, because we're saying, hey, there are certain specific needs to this group of boys that we don't have a wide scale way to address as school counselors.
I just think that there's put in, and it's like, where are the district initiatives? I've been in three districts. I've never seen a district initiative, even with certain issues within the community, that they target the young man to break those generational curses, right? Like, to break the mindset and the issues. And I feel like if we're going to make any of our children better, it should be a community initiative versus it just being the school's responsibility. The school has to work with the community. So when I was talking, when I was in Dayton, I made a suggestion that we're targeting young people, but what if it was an initiative to have a young person, they can get a deeper discount if the young person could come with their parent and they can do a program together and make it a family initiative. It's like, we're only going to offer it to the kids, but these kids don't see what program can offer them, because they don't, some kids, and I got to be careful what I say, because I'm not generalizing all kids, but the kids that we're speaking of may not see somebody in their community that was successful from this program or was successful in any of these trades.
Right.
So an adult has a broader view, like, oh man, you know, I can go to school for welding and only have to pay this much, and I can make this much. And I'm like, well, yeah. And then it goes to a deeper thought. Well, what happens if all of these initiatives happen and the community starts turning around, they go get a job, the taxes come back to the community, now the area is looking better. Is this something that we truly want? Or are we only going to spoon feed the kids instead of really sort of deeper issues if we're trying to turn, you know, things completely around the right way.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. But then I think you just run into the issue of, like, schools already have too many problems that they're expected to solve beyond just educating kids. And so it's like, that's where, like, community partnership and, like, support really needs to come into play.
Absolutely. But it's like, where are you?
But even,
kids who need it.
Yes.
You know, and I just, so hopefully whoever's listening to this, if you feel oh so inspired, we need you. You know, like, we need someone to put a national program together that is going to reach Ohio as much and as effectively as it can reach California, you know, because there these are, what is it, disinvested communities?
I like that term.
Right? We call them urban, but they're disinvested communities. And, you know, we need to make the investment. And it's not the true investment. Is it a community center? Okay, yeah, the kids go up to the community center. They could be in the streets. But we're trying to actually bring change. Not a place for them to go, but we need to go and target the parents of our of the kids in our district. We need to make sure they have mental health services. We need to make sure they have parenting classes and they have a way to actually get into a trade and get employment. And we need to make sure whoever we can help so we can then help our kids. And then we can help the kids as well. Mm-hmm. But specifically, if daddy has had, you know, had a felony and daddy can't work, so daddy keeps going in and out of jail, keeps getting busted for doing the same thing over and over again, trying to literally provide for his family, you know, maybe we can help dad, you know, figure out a way, figure out something. But it has to be a community partnership. And we can focus on the student while they focus on the parent. But it got to be something. And that in turn would truly help African, you know, a lot of African American, Mexican American, Latino, you know, Black and brown young men who are, have fell into the temptation of the streets where they feel like the only people that can protect them is each other. And then they create gangs. And but just like the story I said, when I just had a conversation with the young man who did put down his gun, how many conversations could we have if we all came together and maybe a third of the student, a third of these boys can say, you know what, you're right. You're right. But who's talking to them? Who's mentoring them? So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I have a book. I haven't actually finished it, but it's called Punished, Policing the Lives of Black and Latino Boys. It's written by a game named Victor Rios. But he talks about, like, his experience and, like, and he's from, I want to say, like, L.A., like some serious gangland, and, like, his own experiences kind of how it starts. But he's a sociologist now. He's a professor. So, I mean, I think from just, like, a school counseling standpoint, there's, you know, our own internal bias work that we all have to do. Be like you said, being aware of communities, not making assumptions about communities. While you were just talking, I was thinking about one of my coworkers' students who is an African American young man who would really, really strongly benefit from some mental health services. Dad is now out of jail but had been in prison for a while. You know, and his family just, you know, dad says, nope, that doesn't believe in that. And so even just like just general education about things like mental health and I don't know, there's just like there's so many widespread needs. Like everything's really trauma heavy right now, especially because of COVID. But, you know, like so this is a kid who has probably some behavior issues that are definitely he has some behavior issues that are from some undiagnosed mental health things. And then he also has, I'm sure, trauma from dad being in jail and just from other things going on in his personal life. But, you know, it's a situation where they just refuse to even take him for any kind of assessment or, you know, allow any of that. So sometimes just the education of, like, this, you know, this is a real thing and you can, you know, there are ways to help with this. You know, so I think that there's just so much work to do that being able, like you said, to partner in a community aspect would be a first step.
Yeah, it definitely would be amazing.
And I think, you know, we get, like you said, we get services for girls like Rox. You see services, and I don't really know of any specific, like, nationwide things, but that are for just as a on a broad level, not gender specific, for African-American students or Latinx students. So I think sometimes when that can happen, you see, you know, those demographics of students who don't fit into enough of those specific niches where they do sometimes miss out on some of those opportunities.
Right. Well, I am, for one, if anyone is out there that has a organization or knows of an organization, please, what are we doing? Adding us or tagging us?
Tag us, email us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stories@gmail.com. So always with a number two.
Yeah.
Facebook and Instagram is two school counselors, and on Twitter is two counselors.
Yeah, then we can just, we can definitely post it in other school counseling groups so that we can utilize them. But I'm more more than willing to do whatever I can to bring that into my school and to promote it as much as I can if we can find one that is built for a national model. So
right, absolutely. All right, I think, are we ready for self-care?
Yeah.
All right,
so self-care, the reason why our listeners have not heard Nyla is because Nyla's by me, knocked out, sleeping. And what I do is I usually put on some thunderstorm music, some white noise, and that helps her sleep, and it helps me sleep and stay asleep. And I have the most restful sleep. And when I went to my dad's house and I spent the night, and when I was visiting my dad, I had Nyla with me. I put on the white noise. My dad said, wait a minute, I almost couldn't even get up because I was so relaxed. And then my sister tried it, and she went back to sleep past her alarm, and she was like, I never did that before. And I think, you know what? White noise is really, really, really good, especially for pets and especially for us. It really does help relax us. So the next time that you go to sleep, put on some soft thunderstorm. Find it at, actually, they have it on Apple Music. They have it. I'm sure some, it has to be on Spotify. There's YouTube. And see how it does you. To me, it just helps me stay in that deep sleep for so much longer. And I really do feel rested with it. So,
okay. Good suggestion. All right. I know this was a short one this week, but we just had mostly just stuff to talk about and not a lot of solutions. So,
you know what? We just talked and shot the breeze with each other like we always do. And if you want to carry this conversation on, please do. And if you are listening from a student standpoint, ground, and you're getting excited and revved up to be a school counselor, definitely write a thesis on this, or talk to your professor about this and see what we can do even on a higher level to make, and this will be a great ASCA initiative. Like, it will be a great anybody initiative at this point.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening to us as always.
Yep, thanks. And we will talk to you in 2 weeks.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Listen to us, two school counselors, every first and third Monday of the month, and sometimes in between. Join our conversation by following us on Twitter at @twocounselors. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast streaming services and share us with your friends.